Welcome to the Unscripted SEO Interview Podcast. Yes, it's 100% unscripted, 100% unrehearsed, 100% unedited, and 100% real. I'm your host, Mark A. Preston. And my guest today is the co-founder of 1225, an audience-first growth marketing agency. Please welcome Harry Evans. Hi, Harry.
How you doing? I've got to say, so we do our own podcast and we have to do the intro several times. So the fact that you can do that unedited and get it right is pretty impressive.
Well, it's not impressive. Honestly, sometimes I totally mess up, but it's unedited, unscripted, and it is what it is. And we'll just go with the flow.
I'm excited to see what we get into over the next 40-50 minutes or so.
Yeah. Well, just to start with, for the people watching this or listening to this who don't know who you are, please could you give me a whirlwind tour of, you know, where you started in the industry, when were that, and like kind of where you are now?
Yeah, absolutely. So let's go whirlwind then. So I've been doing SEO, digital marketing, email marketing, kind of like all of what comes with agency life for the last 12 years or so now. So I was fresh out of school, didn't know what I wanted to do, and was just sent by my parents on a bunch of different interviews is probably the best way to describe it. Everything from being a postman to picking and packing at a warehouse. And so it got lucky. The interviews were, some of them, very questionable, I got to say, and most of them were in fairly rundown, cold warehouses and things like that. And someone said to me, oh, there's this marketing company down the road, maybe you should go there. So went there, knocked on the door, got myself an interview. And all I remember is it being warm and clean with, like, you know, like back in the day, like all the like big IMAX on the desks and stuff. And I thought, I have no idea what these guys do, but it's better than the other options I have. Let's just go for it. So first day, made the classic rookie mistake. I rock up in a full suit, nice two-piece suit, nice shoes on, been to the shop the day before to get a matching tie, get there, everyone's in jeans, t-shirts, and I'm like, oh, what have I done here? So that was the start of my career, really, and got very fortunate with the team at that agency. They were incredibly good. And I met a guy there called Brendan Gilbert, and we've been working together ever since. So we moved from that agency about 6 years ago to an agency called Era, based in Milton Keynes, run by Paddy Mugan and Matt Beswick. Spent the best part of 6 years there, having a great time trialing a bunch of different things. I had pretty much every job you could have at Era at some point, from like paid media, SEO, account execs, account managers, and kind of finished my time there as associate director of digital, so much more of a people management role. So for the last 2 or 3 years, have focused really on team building, moving all the way through to July 2023, when we decided that instead of talking about what it could be like to run your own agency, it was probably about time we gave it a go. So Brendan and I, who, like I said, I met 12 years ago, stepped into the world of agency ownership. We're now running, as you say, 1225, which, again, being able to say, we didn't plan for it to be such a mouthful. Like, it is, it's a lot of words in a short period of time when you say that. So to, again, be able to get it right first time unscripted was quite impressive. But we've been running that for, 7 months now? This is month 7. As you say, our big differentiator, if you like, is that we do try to bring a big, big focus on what we're calling audience first. It's something that we saw this shift happening while we were at Era. And we were like, okay, if we're going to go this audience first shift, which I'm sure we'll get into what we mean when we say audience first shortly, is the reason that we decided to go and see if we could capitalize on what we saw kind of expanding in the industry. And yeah, we're still going 7 months in. We're having a great time. So the fact that I'm not homeless yet, I'd class as a success.
That's a great story. Now, when you say audience first, you know, you're creating a shift in the industry. I mean, to me, shouldn't it always be just audience first out of the bat?
Yes, it should be. But that doesn't necessarily mean it is, at least from the experience that I've seen. And I wouldn't necessarily say that like 12, 25 of those ones that are trying to push that shift, I would say the move has just naturally come as we're seeing, like, for example, like the world of SGE and EAT being pushed more by Google and trying to essentially, I guess, move away from that push towards optimizing for algorithms. They're getting better at understanding how people think, see, behave. SEOs and agencies are pushing that way as well. But I think it isn't always done that way. Like I've spent, like I said, the last 3-4 years, especially managing teams of SEOs, and we'll onboard a client. And the first thing we do is jump to the keyword research tools. Like, to me, that misses out a step, which is, for the most part, the businesses that I've spent the last 10 years working with are established businesses. Yes, they still may be small companies, they may be medium sized, but they have a product that they're actively selling, or they have a service that they're actively selling. So they have customers and they have potential customers. And that, to me, is where we should start before we even get into the keyword research tools, is let's go speak to them. Like, they've chosen to work with company A, company B, company C for a reason. Let's really understand that first and understand their journey to coming to work with those companies. And then we'll scale in and add in the keyword research, the content audits, and all those kind of things. But it seems like an untapped resource to not go to the people who are already buying your product first. And yes, I agree, that is how it should be done. And you think it is out of the bat all of the time. But I would definitely say from my experience, and something that I personally did as well, was I jumped to the keyword research tools first.
Yeah, I can totally relate. I've spent quite a few years going around in-house teams and agencies, you know, basically upskilling and educating their SEO teams. And you're quite right, you know, that like they just jump in with, you know, straight into keyword research. But times are moving on. I mean, yeah, things are changing. And I think the mentality of SEOs need to progress forward, even though that's what they should have been doing in the first place. I also believe that it's because the SEO team doesn't have direct contact with the client. So they just get told, we've brought this client on, you know, do SEO. You know, I think there's a whole abundance of it, but how do you see that shift in the industry happening, or what needs to happen?
It's a good question. I think it's definitely started in a lot of places. Like, I can speak for like firsthand experience of the work that we did at the Aero over the last couple of years into the makeup of what is 1225, but also just contacts that I've spoken to is, I think you identified a big part of it there, which is taking out the gap between the SEO team and the client to start with. Like, we spent a lot of time at Aero trying to get to the point where we had essentially like account manager's role shifted more towards overseeing a strategy and making sure that strategy was executed on, rather than, and I don't mean this in any disrespectful way, like a switchboard for communication, which can quite often become the case, and go, look, you are the SEO on this account. The best person for you to be speaking to now isn't the inside of a keyword database. It's to the client, and then it's to the client's clients. So having them work directly, I think, starts to bridge that gap. But I think the second part is, and I think, like you say, you're doing it in your work, is education as to what we are seeing, what Google is pushing us more towards, what people are pushing us more to work towards, and also bringing back in some essential principles that I think have been not lost, but definitely overlooked over the last 5-10 years or so. Like, I'm hearing more and more people say it now, and I think it is so important, which is, people buy from people, people work with people, people interact with people, they don't interact with a screen. And like, bringing that people element back into things is so important, but it's so easily overlooked. Like, even now, like, this is a great conversation, but it's quite possible that we may never meet in person. And that seems absurd. So bringing people back into the world of business, into marketing strategies, into sales and everything, I think is a huge part of that shift that is happening more, but more of it needs to be done.
Yeah. I think there's been a lot of disconnection, you know, around You know, there are gaps in the whole, you know, SEO teams and the link between the client, you know, but I think it's very much a case of just bringing everyone together right at the beginning to understand the objectives and what's been sold, you know, just for what, I mean, there's some fantastic agencies out there and I know many of them, you know, but one agency I went into, I said to the SEO team, well, what are you doing? SEO. I said, well, what are you doing? So I went into the directors. I said, what have you sold? What have you agreed? What are the goals, objectives? 1 day a week, SEO.
Yeah.
I said, well, what is it? They just want SEO. We sold 1 day a week. And I'm like, well, what have you agreed? You know, and I think that's I think becoming more of a rarity, hopefully, in the industry. You know, we have progressed on, but I mean the whole communication cycle. So the SEO teams involved, well, okay, well, don't promise this because we can't deliver it on that, but you know, on that time scale. I think this is the whole, you know, infrastructure, and this is how, in order to create a really good audience first mindset, I think, you know, SEO teams need to have some sort of say in things.
Yeah, I'd say the thing that you said there that I would definitely resonate with is the teams becoming siloed as well. So one of the big things that, again, I don't want to make it about ourselves all the time, but that we have been pushing a lot is organic search over SEO and bringing the teams that have shared objectives back together. So one of the common things that we saw was you'd have the, say, like the digital PR team who have a shared objective with what you'd call like the traditional SEO team, but they would be treated as separate teams or separate retainers with separate objectives, when really the objective is the same. Increase like brand category affiliation and visibility. That should lead to greater traffic. Ideally, if we're doing that with the right relevance and the right distribution, it should be people from our target personas. That should lead to, if it's e-commerce, more transactions, if it's service, more leads, and obviously in turn would be generating business outcomes. But it's very easy to put those teams together and not have them work together. And like you say, bringing everybody around a table with shared objectives rather than separate objectives is a great way of taking leaps forward. But in my view, you also have to start with, like you say, almost take whatever discipline it is out of the equation. So if it's paid media, if it's SEO, if it's digital PR, whatever it is, take that out of the equation first and just dial it back to like, what are we trying to achieve for this client? How are we going to achieve that? And also, you know, how is this business operating already? Where are they getting their clients from? Go speak to those clients. How did you find out about the company? And if we take it back to those initial principles first and build up into our strategies, we will be delivering something much closer to audience first than, I guess, what is search first at the moment.
Yeah. Now, with the audience first growth marketing, not talking about the agency growth marketing, where does SEO fit within that whole? Because obviously there's lots of things that happen outside of SEO, but what's SEO's role within growth marketing?
I think there's two different ways of answering that question. So I'll give you my initial reaction, which is there is definitely a very strong argument to say that SEO's role has shifted to be more, like if we take growth marketing and then add into it the customer journey of awareness, consideration, and decision, I'd say it's moved further up that funnel to awareness and a bit of consideration stage activity. So helping build that brand visibility and the big thing of like brand category affiliation, right? So am I affiliating my brand with the right category? And are we educating people in that process? I think SEO is playing more and more of a role there. I do think there's an argument as to SEO maybe moving away from just being like Google and Bing optimization to broader levels of optimization as well with social channels and things like that. But I think there's a very strong argument to say that is where SEO sits in this journey now. It is more of an awareness and brand building activity. That being said, I do think there is a huge role for it to be played further down that funnel, but the top level metrics we measure it against have to change. So if we're talking about SEO being a driver of revenue by bringing in bottom of the funnel customers and traffic and things like that, we probably don't measure it on search volume. We probably have to measure it on leads generated, because we're finding SaaS is a great example where we do, you know, the comparison articles and things like that. So the product X alternatives. One person a month might search that. So if you look at your keyword research tools, it's going to tell you it's a redundant keyword to go after. But if the product value of that is $20,000, $30,000 MRR, you only need one for that to have a massive return on investment. So I think it can play a role further down that funnel. But if it's going to, you have to change the metrics at which you're measuring it against.
Yeah, do you think it's very much a case of SEOs being able to spot opportunities outside just the keyword research tools?
Yeah, so I think I think you have to allow a lot more creative freedom than potentially that has been done previously. And if as an SEO, I'd say this myself, like I have to make sure that I remember to lift my head up beyond not just the keyword research tools, but you know, you could semi-automate your role if you wanted to by using all the tools that are available to you, right? Like you can get reports back on the technical changes that need to be made. You can get reports back on search volumes and things like that. So you have to lift your head up a little bit from there and probably ask a question that we're asking more and more now, which is like, where are these potential customers actually gathering information from? And then that becomes where you're going to find your opportunities. So we're spending a lot more time in software like SparkToro, for example, that is giving us that information as to like, these are the social channels that these people are hanging out on. Okay, well, our strategy should probably shift much more towards getting visible on those channels and leading with a strategy that will then essentially generate search demand, providing we then have the pages that can capitalize on that search demand once we create it. We're in an incredibly good space. But yes, I agree. I do think that we have to give not just an SEO team, but everybody within the marketing team, I say, looser frameworks to work in, rather than having set very defined roles as like, you're the SEO, you do this particular thing. You're the paid media person, you do this particular thing. You're maybe the more traditional marketer. Like, let's lift it up and give people frameworks of operation instead. And I think that you say that opens the door for much more opportunity spotting than perhaps it does sometimes.
Yeah, I think over the years, one thing I've liked to do when I've gone into SEO teams and said, well, this is what you're doing, but what do you actually think? What would you do differently? And I think having conversations, you know, just for people to be honest and, you know, can bring out so many great opportunities out of the woodwork, rather than you're the SEO, that's your job, them are your tasks, go and do them.
So one of my favorite, like, I guess, analogies for this, or things that we have definitely experienced, and we've caught ourselves, as in Brennan and I, doing this a few times as well, which is, if you take a step back and ask yourself, like, do I really think the thing that I'm doing is going to work? Sometimes the answer will be no. And it's like, okay, well, that's fine then. Why am I delivering it? And if the answer to that is, well, I'm delivering it to make sure that I meet the statement of work or the agreed, you know, SLA that I've signed up to, that is a problem, because you're optimizing for the wrong thing. And yeah, there's a few times in the recent months where we've caught ourselves just asking, like, well, one, do we think this is going to work? And then two, like, what is the point in this particular piece of content we're producing? Or like, do we really believe someone is going to interact with this in the desired way? And more often than I care to admit, the answer is no. And if we can catch ourselves early on, we can make a change. But I think being able to make sure you ask yourself that question is a nice little hack we've developed over the last couple of months as well.
Yeah, I mean, just being honest with yourself is vital. But when it comes to prioritization, so how can an SEO sit down and think, right, I'm going to prioritize all the things that will actually make a positive difference and move the needle for the business itself? I mean, where do they start?
I would do a few things there. So I think, first of all, I would always try to make sure that we have some kind of like opportunity assessment, if we like, as to like how big do we think this particular opportunity is. And then the second part to that is that you can measure this in numerous different ways, but how seamless do we think that opportunity is going to be to execute against? So that could be, there's this large technical change that we want to make, but how many like development hours is that going to take? How many hours of my time is that going to take? Is it a thing that, yes, the opportunity is large, but the time to implementation is a month and a half, versus something that might have a slightly smaller total opportunity size, but you might be able to get through it in a day or 2 days of time, for example. So we try to create a bit of a matrix that will weigh up how easy something is going to be to implement and that total opportunity size. And quite quickly, if you do that, you'll find that you'll have, it could be a spreadsheet, could be like an Asana board, could be however you decide to plan. Quite quickly, your priorities will become quite obvious based on, well, actually, I can get through these three things really quickly. And that's going to total a larger opportunity size than the bigger change that at first glance seems like the most obvious opportunity. So yeah, I would always ask yourself, how easy is this going to be to implement? And if we can figure that out, that normally leads to a great way to prioritize. And the reason that we like doing that as well is because you start to build some momentum. And one of the big killers that we see when it comes to at least those initial 3 to 6 months with clients is you can quite easily find yourself in a cycle of planning. Whereas if you can identify those opportunities quickly, you can execute on some of them quickly, and you build momentum. And like, I'm sure you've seen this over and over again, the thing that keeps a client around longer than anything is that snowball effect of momentum. So if we can build that momentum quickly, you're going to be in a great place with your clients.
Yes, I think that I always say the first 3 months of a new client is vital. So it's looking at them quick wins. Whatever you can do to get them quick wins, to show positivity within them first 3 months to the client, just to secure that relationship and trust. I mean, unfortunately, you know, a lot of cases is a new client comes in and it goes to the tech SEO to do all the tech stuff. And, you know, it's really good stuff to do, but it might, and it needs doing, but it might not actually physically move the business needle forward, you know, in them first 3 months. And I think that, you know, just to be able to come in right at the beginning and think, spot the opportunities. So how can an SEO team or the wider marketing team spot those quick win opportunities?
So a great question that we've spent a lot of time trying to get right ourselves, and I don't think we always do. I'll give you a couple of thoughts on that. So one of them is quite often, like especially agency side, and I'm sure like it's probably quite similar freelance side as well, or even in-house, that a lot of these projects or campaigns or retainers will kick off with some kind of proposal deck. Now, one of the things that we've seen quite often is even within that proposal deck, the person putting it together could be a salesperson, could be that like an agency. It's typically someone in like the C-suite, for example, will put some kind of proposal deck together. And in there, they have probably themselves spotted one or two opportunities, which are the thing that have hooked the client in to say, yes, okay, let's do this. I have learned the hard way quite a few times that once that has been signed off, that deck might not even get looked at again. So like the first place that I would start is like, well, what did we sell the client? There's probably a couple of quick wins there. Let's just start with them, because to your point again, like that's what the client is expecting. They're expecting those things. And normally they tend to be very tangible, very real things, because like you said, the tech stuff can be hugely important, but you can make a huge technical change that you're not going to see anything, you're not going to feel anything. Whereas we're probably already pitching something that is very tangible, very real. And getting those out the door quickly is normally just a quick win, and it's probably already been identified. But from beyond there, we always, always start with a content audit, which is like what content on the client's website is already being consumed, is already working, And then starting to work down that list, be like, okay, well, which pieces are either getting really high visibility and impressions, but not getting the engagement that we'd expect, or which ones are getting a ton of engagement, but have really low conversion rates and things like that. They're normally great places to start rather than doing something completely new. Because if you do something completely new, like every SEO listening to this will know, it takes a while for it to, before it sometimes even gets indexed, and then for it to start climbing the rankings to the point that it's going to be on the first page or second page where someone might find it, is start with the content that's already visible and improve that. So yeah, I'd say two places we start. First of all, go back and refresh what we pitched to the client, and let's do those first because they're expecting them. And then from there, audit their existing content, see what's performing well, and then see what, based on those good performing metrics, is underperforming. And start by optimizing those first, because again, to the audience first point, the audience is already giving you an indication of what they like because they're consuming that content. So let's go there first.
Yeah, definitely. I'm a big believer in let's get what you already have working better before we start thinking about doing new things. You know, so that whole mindset, unless you understand what's working and what isn't with what you already have, how can you even progress forward? You know, let's just, because 9 times out of 10, they already have some fantastic stuff that maybe need some tweaks here and there, or I've seen things that, well, you know, they're talking about this a lot, but realistically, that's for your existing customers because it's more after sales. Yeah. Let's look at the whole picture of what you have. And honestly, I'd say 9 times out of 10, there's always opportunities to make a decent difference, even if it's increasing conversion rate by a few. I mean, SEO and conversion rate, they say it's two different things. For me, it's just intertwined.
Yep.
You know, so actually spotting what they already have and making it work better. What's your thoughts on that?
It's a no-brainer, and it should be 9 times out of 10 where you start, but it's not always the case. I'll give you a good example of that actually recently. So we onboarded a law firm client, and the first thing that we did was we jump into Search Console, which I think is a hugely underutilized resource, and I think it's easy to overlook it because it's free, right? Like you're probably spending, depending on where you're at, up to the thousands of pounds having 3-5 different tools that are going to do similar jobs. But Search Console jumped in, had a look for everything that had a high impressions but a fairly low average position, and what we found was pretty much every single service page that they have, so let's say family law or business insurance law and claims and things like that, every single service that they offered was high on impressions, low click-through rate, average position was probably somewhere between 11 and 15, right? So basically average position on the second page. All we did was have a look at those pages, and we noticed that every single one of them had a hard-coded into it a template meta description that just said, welcome to our firm, like every single one. And then none of them had, and it's super basic, like it's not advanced stuff, was none of them had a H1 that actually said the service name. It would just have like a nice slogan that was like, we're here to protect you, or we're here to offer you support. So all we did was go in and change them to service plus location. So they say family law, Milton Keynes, or divorce law, Milton Keynes. And within 5 days, 6 out of the 10 services are on the first page now. And that's been a huge impact for that client through, firstly, not a lot of effort. And second, that's not, you know, that's something that you'd learn in probably your first or second week as an SEO. So yeah, jump into Search Console, see what the data is saying, and just optimize the existing stuff, because that is a quick win. And what that has also allowed us to do is, and hopefully they don't mind me saying if they listen to this, there were a few people within the organization that were a bit apprehensive, right? You'll know this. Normally when you onboard a client, you're normally onboarding them because they've had not the best experience elsewhere. So some people already had their backs up. So to be able to jump in, make some simple changes, and build that momentum, has got a couple more of them on side as well. So yeah, I completely agree. Start with what you've already got before you start building new.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's just, for me anyway, it's like an obvious place to start. But, you know, again, it all depends on what, you know, the pre-sales team have, you know, promised, you know, compared to that. And that's why it's important for them to come together. But back onto the audience first bit. Now, when you say audience first, what does, in plain language, what does that actually mean?
So I would describe audience first from our side, and I think you could ask that question to 10 different people and you'd probably get 10 different answers. I don't think there's a defined definition of this, but I would define audience first as doing two things. So firstly, starting by asking your existing clients, in terms of like, so your clients' clients, asking them questions that would enable better marketing activity. So going to speak to them before you start doing anything else. And then the second part, in my view, for audience first, is going where your potential customers are, not just doing what you always do because that's what SEO is or that's what paid media is. Like, ask yourself the question or get the data that says your potential customers are in this particular place, and let's start there before doing anything else. So yeah, for me, it's speaking to the client's clients and then going where they are, rather than essentially what it could be, like chasing algorithms, which is one way of looking at it.
Yeah, I think just to put this into some context myself, is a few years ago when not every single SEO, but most SEOs were begging the likes of Moz and Search Engine Land to write for them, I thought, no, I got myself a column in a little local business newspaper. And that column, obviously, with print and online, so I got the exposure, but the amount of business I generated was unreal. You know, okay, the DA of the link might not have been as good or whatever, but that's what I'm talking about. This is the things. I mean, for me, it's like, you know, I get a lot of freelancers contacting me and, you know, saying, I can't get work. I said, well, what have you done? Well, I spoke to a load of other SEOs.
Yeah.
You know, I said, well, are those SEOs going to give you business? You know, shouldn't you be talking to the businesses that you want to work with? You know, and it's just simple. I think for me, it's just simple things. But sometimes we say it's simple, but people are just so stuck in a bubble, they don't see it. You know, it's not a case of they doing something wrong or whatever. It's just that they just don't see it.
Couldn't agree more. I'll give you another example of that, which is we do a lot of work with accountancy firms. Now, I would say that accountancy firms are some of the biggest culprits of this. So in two ways. One, their networks are very firmly sat in or weighted towards other accountants, which is great in some regards. Like, it means that you have this whole host of people and support networks and things like that. But an accountant doesn't necessarily need another accountant. And then the second part that we see time and time again is if you then go on an accountancy firm's website, the content is written for other accountants, not for their customers. Like, our accountant that we use now fell into that exact problem where they were publishing their thoughts on the latest budget reviews and things like that. And I'm like, but we're your target market, and I'm just scrambling around to figure out how to do a VAT return because I've got two more days to do it before HMRC come knocking on the door. That's the content that you should be producing. And all the way through to, we looked at this for one of the clients, I think it's monthly, there are 27 million or something like that videos produced on TikTok that contain the word entrepreneur. Now, we know that most entrepreneurs eventually are going to find themselves in need of an accountant. So let's shift the content strategy from other accountancy-based meetups. Let's just get a face of that company out on TikTok producing helpful videos that are going to educate, inform, and just help people out that are eventually going to need your services. It's a bit of a longer play, but you're getting in front of the right people. And yeah, your analogy there works tremendously well, right? Like if you're an SEO looking to acquire freelance clients, an SEO conference probably isn't the best place to be. The local trade show probably is, or the local business directory probably is. So yeah, I think you've hit the nail on the head with that example.
I mean, something you mentioned there and something you mentioned a while back, realistically, SEO is not just Google. You know, search engines are not just Bing, Yahoo, and Google. You know, any platform that requires someone to do a search and results come up is theoretically a search engine. And I think for SEOs to come out, to venture out of the Google bubble and open the mind to other opportunities really does create a massive positive impact for everything.
I think it future-proofs things as well, right? So I think early part of last year, we had a lot of people within our teams coming to us a little bit worried about what the future was going to hold, right? Like ChatGPT had really just started to come to the forefront. There was a whole bunch of content from people spun up from nowhere in the space of 24 hours. Google was releasing different guidelines left, right, and center. And we had a lot of people come to us genuinely worried about what the future held for them. Did they need to reskill? Did they need to relearn? And I don't think any of that is the case. I think the skill set that SEOs have, copywriters have, is a fundamental skill set that's not necessarily going to go away anytime soon. But it is going to mold, flex, and reposition a little bit. And you're right in saying that. Like, search engine optimization can even be brought back a little bit more, which is your job is essentially trying to get the right content in front of the right people. If we break that down as the fundamental part of what an SEO is trying to achieve, it becomes a lot more freeing and hopefully seems a lot more future-proof. Yeah, it's like some of the tactics may need to be learned, new, found, developed, but that core skill set isn't going away anytime soon.
Yeah, I think it just comes down to a basic marketing principle. You know, say the right thing to the right people. You know, I mean, it's the research bit that allows you to determine what that thing and the people are.
Yeah. Yeah, I think where that can become challenging, though, and I think this is on anybody to work with their clients on, is you can almost inadvertently ring fence yourself by the metrics you begin to report on as well. Like if you start to put such a great emphasis on, say, like measuring rankings in a search engine or measuring traffic to a particular page or all the way through to, like, I've seen people measure on bounce rates and things like that before. Like you can inadvertently trap yourself into doing the same thing over and over again by what you're reporting on. So I think one of the big things that has definitely shifted and definitely needs more work is working with those clients to really define what metrics for success are. And like 9 times out of 10, when you break that down, everybody's lacking for the same thing, right? Which is they're lacking for more sales. They're lacking to grow their business. And if you can focus the bulk of your reporting on that, it becomes more freeing again, because you don't have to optimize for certain metrics that may only be Google related metrics. For example, like if you're measuring yourself against average positions in Search Console, your work is only ever going to take place in Google, because that's the only place you can measure that. So yeah, spending a lot more time with clients to really define reporting metrics enables some of this as well.
Yeah. Over the past 23 years or so I've been in the industry, out of all the CMOs, CEOs, business owners, everyone, not one single person has ever said to me, Mark, I really want SEO. You know, SEO is just the thing that they have been told or they believe that will get them from A to B in the business. You know, and I think that's where, you know, not just on an audience first basis, but just in general, you know, is that business connection with the SEO teams is vital, you know, because after all, I mean, you know, the CMO, well, maybe the CMO might want to, but the business itself, they're not bothered how many 404 errors you've had. they just want to know, right, last month we made this much and generated that many leads. What is it, you know, what's it going to be? You know, what were it last month? What we're comparing it to? I mean, you know, is it, you know, if you just spend 12 months not generating any real impact for the business itself, then, you know, you're probably going to lose the client.
So there's something that really centered my thinking about this, that a guy called Byron Ma, who runs his own paid media agency, Profit Spring, said to me a couple of years back, and it really stuck with me. We were just in conversation. He was like, marketing was just created by a creative salesperson. And what that really distills down to is marketing has to be a revenue generating activity. And that really just helped centered my thinking and our thinking now as an agency as to what we're doing for our clients. And you're absolutely right. None of our existing client base came to us and said, we really, really, really want SEO. They came to us with the core problem of, we want to grow quicker. Can you help with that? So yeah, reminding myself over and over again that marketing was probably created by some creative salespeople really helps center my thinking on that.
Do you have your own framework when it comes to audience first growth marketing?
Yes, I would say so. But I think what that framework looks like for us is more a, probably underplaying this a little bit, but a checklist of how to get started, which is every client that we onboard will have a very similar set of processes we go through for that first, I'd say, 1 to 8 week period. In terms of, like, we know we need to start by speaking to the client's clients. From there, we need to go away and really study and find opportunities and understand where those clients are going, where they're consuming content, how they're consuming content. And then from there, we need to move into getting the job done, essentially, and executing on that. But beyond those first 1 to 8 weeks, the framework is very loose because no client is exactly the same. We have some clients who need to be all over TikTok because that's where their potential clients are, which means that our team are producing a bunch of video content. We have others, and I mean this in the nicest way, working some very, very boring service areas, let's say, where a lot of that content is consumed in long form white papers and data analysis and things like that. And that execution is totally different. So do we have a framework? Kinda. Do we have a checklist of things that we absolutely must do to deliver the best possible audience first work? Yes. But that tends to run for the first, say, 1 to 8 weeks, and then maybe recycle itself on a 6 month period to check back in. But I've said it a few times, which is start by speaking to the client's clients, then start by speaking to potential customers, maybe get some survey work and market research done. Then jump into the SEO tools and do some data gathering to back up those initial theories and hypotheses, and then execute. But beyond that, the execution is very loose because every client is different. And if we try to treat them the same, it puts us on the back foot.
Yeah, I think that is the key. Over the years, I've seen that's been the problem. You know, I'm not saying all. I mean, the industry's got a lot better. I mean, there's some fantastic agencies, some fantastic SEO people out there. But, you know, I think the key things I've personally found is exactly that, is SEO teams treating every client the same with the same checklist. And anyone that's listened to me before, I'm not a big fan of checklists for the simple reason is they just a guide, a prompt to say that thing needs doing, but it doesn't mean to say that's how you do it for each client. It's just prompts and a framework and when it comes around it. And I think moving forward, we do need to literally, SEOs just need to start thinking like marketers with a business mindset.
I'm laughing along because my old team at Aero are probably fed up of me saying that exact same thing. So one of the slides that I used to use over and over again was one where it was just a couple of words that said, in my belief, process kills creativity. And it's exactly what you're describing there, which is you try and put processes in to help. I get it. Like, it helps scale things, right? Like, if you can process delivery, it helps scale things. It helps you bring in more junior team members and say, here's the process, follow these processes, free to execution. But doing that strips away so many of the basics and the fundamentals, like you said, that you've been talking about there. So yeah, like I said, the big thing, we have it written on the wall in our office as well, which is process kills creativity. Don't do the same thing over and over again. Let's have some frameworks for operation, but let's not try and treat everybody exactly the same.
Yeah, I mean, I call it like SEO robots and SEO marketers.
Mm.
And the idea is for you to shift over. You know, if all you're doing is exactly the same thing every day for different clients, you're basically working in a factory where there's a conveyor belt. And that's personally how I think about it, you know. And I think, but a lot of time, the SEOs, well, that's what they've been told they have to do. And that's what they have. They do. Some SEOs don't have that freedom to actually be able to do this creative thinking stuff that they need to.
Yeah, I agree. And I do think that is on a whole bunch of people in organizations to make sure that is not the case. But one of the big things one of the areas of success we have found with this to how to push this through is, and I'm sure I'll get some pushback on this, but is taking a bit of a risk and just doing something to show what this could look like, to show how it could work, gain a bit of a case study, and that can help get. So let me put that into a bit of context. So one of the things that we really struggled with one of our early clients on at 1225 was they operate in financial services. Financial services, it can be a bit of a nightmare to get through compliance, any creative ideas and things like that. As I'm sure that'll resonate with many people. Right. Well, how can we push this along a bit quicker? And we had don't want to go too much into the idea, but we had an idea that was a little bit outside the box. And we were like, I don't think we'll get a sign off on this. How can we do it? So we have access to their CMS. We have access to the things that we would need. So we just went and built it. We built it, no indexed it, so it couldn't be found by anybody. And just did two things. We went to a focus group of their clients, which we'd already had set up, and said, what are your thoughts on this? What does this mean from a brand reputation perspective? Do you see any risks? Yes, no. And then just sent that data plus the already completed piece to the CMO for sign-off. And the barrier there is so much smaller because you can already see the thing. It's not just like a Google Doc of ideas anymore. It's real. It's tangible. And we got it signed off. And I think we got it signed off because the barrier to sign off was so much lower. So I would encourage people, if they can, take a bit of a risk, de-risk it in some ways. Like, we made sure we had some audience backup and the page wasn't discoverable by search in the initial pitch period. But yeah, push to try and reduce barriers to sign off is probably what I'd say to that.
Yeah, do you think that's because people can't visualize things when you write it down, that you need to give them an idea of what it's going to be?
I'd say it's two things. Like, one, definitely that. Like, I can't. I am terrible at that. Like, you can see my background here. Like, this is the wall in my spare room where the desk is. When my, at the time, my sister was helping me, like, move into the house and things like that, she was like, oh, a green wall would look really nice here with some shelves and things like that. I can't see that. Like, she can tell me what it's going to look like all she wants, but I can't see that. So in the end, for me, she was like, okay, she found some free software and she drew it out for me. And I was like, okay, I can see it now. Let's do it. So I think, yes, some people definitely struggle with visualization. I'd say the other thing that I don't have any data on this. This is pure speculation. But if something gets delivered in like Word doc or Google doc or a PDF format, it seems of much greater importance than if it gets delivered via a web page, right? So if you're given some content to review and it's in a Word doc, chances are you're focusing heavily on every single word that has been put in that piece of copy. Going like, okay, does this make sense? Are the commas in the right place? Is it grammatically correct? Which hopefully you'll agree, like from a conversion perspective on the internet, probably isn't the be all and end all. So sticking that on a web page, so one, you help the visualization, and two, you probably lowered the importance that is being placed on some of this stuff. I think that is what helps reduce the friction to sign off.
Yeah, definitely. But I was going to say, it does look really nice, but I probably couldn't create that myself from scratch. You know, I know what I like when I look at it, but to actually think, oh, well, that's what, you know, coming up with, it's, you know, it's not for everybody, you know, everybody has these skills. And I think sometimes it doesn't come natural. You have to learn these skills. And it's same with the audience first growth marketing. You know, okay, it probably doesn't come natural. It doesn't come natural to everybody. I mean, you know, a lot of things might seem obvious, but it doesn't come natural. You're going to have to learn it. You're going to have to try things. So for SEOs that are hardcore SEOs to make that transition, what are two or three little things they can do to start making that transition over?
So I am the biggest introvert in the world. Like, I hate walking into a room of new people. I get incredibly nervous before having a new conversation. Like, I was pacing the house for about half hour before we jumped on to record this, for example. It's the first time we've spoken. Brendan, my co-founder, he always tells the story of, we worked together for 6 months before I spoke to him. Like, I used to sit in the room when I first started. I was terrified to speak to anybody. So I can definitely see how there's a barrier there. Like, it's all well and good. And he's saying, yeah, go speak to your client's clients. But like, what does that look like in reality? And it can sound quite daunting if you haven't done it before. There are the two things I would say to that, which are, for the most part, people aren't idiots, but people are nice people. 9 times out of 10, you're going to come up in contact with someone who is another nice person. They're going to help you out. They're going to be willing to learn. They're going to be willing to listen. So it's never going to be as bad as you're making it out in your head. The second thing that I would say is, you can reduce some of the barriers to this through preparation. So if you're worried about that initial conversation that you're going to have when you go speak to your clients, we found a quite nice way of getting around that is to send them the questions ahead of time, because you can almost just hand to them and let them then speak for an hour or 30 minutes, whatever it may be, so that you're just reducing those barriers that you have to overcome to get started in something that is new. So I'd say prior preparation, sending things through to people before you speak to them can massively help. And 9 times out of 10, it's never going to be as bad as you think it's going to be in your head.
Yeah. On that note, is one final question I have, is there anything we haven't already spoken about that you personally believe the audience will benefit from?
I would say, so this is probably going to be the most controversial thing I say, because I know of his reputation in the industry, but Neil Patel put a case study out around how content is being consumed over the last, I think, 16 or 18 months he analyzed. And it was something around the fact that 45% of all content was consumed via short form video. And I would say we're definitely seeing that in like our industry. Like we're obtaining a lot of our clients through the use of platforms like TikTok and creating short form helpful content. We're moving a lot of our clients into that place as well. So I would say if you're an SEO and you either don't have the ability yourself or you don't have someone in your network who can be creating short form video content for your clients, actively go and seek either that skill set or that person that can help you, because for a lot of your clients, that is going to be the direction content consumption moves into over the next 12 to 18 months.
And on that basis, and the fact that time's totally rocked on, is what conversations would you like to have with people and where could they find you?
I would like to have any conversations that are a new perspective. So I'm a big advocate of making sure that any team is cognitively diverse. So if anybody has said anything that listened to this and disagrees with me on, I would really love to have that conversation. The best place to find me is on LinkedIn. I've been very lucky that if you search Harry Evans, I tend to be the first one that comes up. So if you search my name on LinkedIn, I should come up, connect with me, and let's have a conversation. Big fan of people interacting with people. So let's grab a coffee or let's jump on a Zoom call or something like that and let's have a conversation.
Brilliant. Well, on that basis, many, many thanks for joining me today and giving up your time to be on here.
Thank you very much.
You've been listening to the Unscripted SEO Interview Podcast with me, Mark A. Preston. Join us next time as I interview more top SEO professionals.